Well, a couple of days ago, by a man who lives in Florida, and he said that his garden had produced everything they wanted, from corn and tomatoes, etc. And they were at the end of the produce. We here in Michigan are getting closer to full harvest. Yet when it comes to the harvest of souls, it is always harvest time. It is always harvest time. Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." John 4:35. The writer of Proverbs said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The need to keep our eyes open for those in need is important. If a garden is growing and then is forgotten, the tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and green beans and the zucchini, etc., continue to grow. And then if left in the garden unattended, will what? It will rot on the vine. You know, I know this, that it's important that the harvest is brought in. I feel sad that there are so many people in our world today that are looking for peace of mind and are not looking in the right spot. For our Lord has peace for us. May I say, during these days of useless frustration and uncertainty, it is good to find a never-fail recipe for peace of mind. Never-fail recipe. Take your Bibles to Philippians 4. We'll read two verses, verses 8 and 9. Pastor Stephen used them 3 weeks ago. Two or three weeks ago, yes. Finally, brethren, Paul is nearing the end of this letter. And he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," that's the title of tonight's message, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise," what? "Think on these things." If I were to ask you, name the person this best identifies, you would say Jesus Christ. It's telling you who Jesus is. He is all these things. Verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." So if you do these things, who will be with us? The God of peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that we can have as born-again believers. Lord, we know that difficult times abound in our society. As we were visiting with my dad this afternoon, it was heartbreaking to see what has happened with him. And yet we realize, Lord, that you can give peace. Lord, we just pray now that you'd have your hand upon this church. Give us, Lord, the desire to serve you faithfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Whatsoever things are true. If I were to ask you right now, tell me something that you have read on the internet, something you have heard in a commercial, read in a newspaper, when you read that, you said, "That isn't right. That's not true." Don and I went to a antique auction this past Friday, and we were sitting there, and most of the collection came from one person, and they had all these signs that were for different things, like Royal Cola, and there were things for Neset orange pop. They had all kinds of things. They had all these things that you would have found in an old store, and bins for screws and nuts. And then there was this one sign that I was looking at for a soap type thing. And it was time to sell it, and they held it up, and a person sitting to the right of the auctioneer said, "That is not an antique. It's a replica." You know, sometimes you have to be careful if you're looking for antiques that someone isn't trying to sell you a replica. What we need in our society is the real thing, the real deal. And you know, we have it. We have it. What a blessing. The Bible says that human sin brought death into the world. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, God cursed the ground. He cursed the woman. He cursed the man. We find that the world is under the curse of sin. But the theory of evolution requires millions of years of death before humans were alive. Therefore, the theory of evolution and the Bible both cannot be true. One is what? False. It is a lie. And yet, if you tell a lie loud enough over and over again, people will believe it. They'll believe it. If one were to check the places where the word true is found in the Bible, we would find the first time in Genesis 42:11, where Joseph's brethren said, "We are true men." Now that must have been interesting for Joseph to hear them say that we are true men, because 10 of his 11 brothers did what to him? Sold him into slavery. So what is truth? A man or a woman that is true is a good person. In Titus 1, Paul informed the young preacher that a bishop or elder or pastor should be a lover of good men. Do you think it's a right thing to be good? Is it always easy to be good? In fact, sometimes I find it very difficult to be good. In fact, sometimes my nature being what it is, I have to battle with myself. Barnabas in Acts 11 was described as a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And the result was that our Lord was able to use him for his work. A good man. Question: are we considered by our peers as good? Do you think sometimes we're able to trick people into thinking we're good? But are you considered as a good person by your peers? How about our family? Do they think we're good? How about our co-workers, our neighbors? My dad had a quaint saying, and maybe you heard him say this sometime along the way, quote, "You can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your family," unquote. That's true, isn't it? Because just because someone's your family doesn't mean you really like them, right? Boy, sometimes it's hard. But to be a good person is a difficult thing. Let me ask you this question. What did Peter think of Judas Iscariot before he betrayed Jesus? What did James and John think of Judas Iscariot before he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? What did Thomas and Matthew and Simon Zealot think of Judas Iscariot before he betrayed Jesus Christ? Now, after he betrayed Jesus Christ, what did they call him? A thief. A thief. But what did they think of him beforehand? Do you think if they knew he was going to betray Jesus Christ as their betray him that they may have taken him out behind the woodshed? Yeah. My dad said when he was in the army, there were certain men in his group that weren't used to taking baths regularly. And he said that if they got gigged, you know what that means, to get gigged? The whole platoon would be put on patrol because one guy, well, he wasn't clean. He said they would take that one man into the shower and give him an army scrubbing. I wonder if they'd have done that to Judas Iscariot. Because I think they thought he was a good guy. I mean, after all, he was the keeper of the bag. You don't give the money to someone you know is a thief. You wouldn't do that. Let me ask you this. Was Achan considered a good family man and a pillar of the community? He probably was. And yet he was a thief. How about Jonah? Do you think those that knew Jonah would have said, he's a godly man? He's a prophet. But what was Jonah? He was prejudiced. Yes. How about Lot? Lot, who sat at the gate of Sodom. You think he was considered a good person? Yet when he warned his sons-in-law to leave Sodom, they thought he mocked them. Good people. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. I'm going to read the first five verses. Then later I'm going to have Pastor Stephen read the rest because he does a much better job with these names than I do. And Paul writes, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Would you say that these are good people? Yes. Pastor Stephen has got that handheld mic over there. So he's going to start reading right now.
All right, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who were of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with him. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Appreciate that. What do we have here? A list of what? Good people. Faithful people. But can I say this to you? Those people that were in the church that met in Aquila and Priscilla's house, are they named? They're not named. They probably were good people, right? Thank God for the unnamed good people of gospel preaching churches. Again, in Hebrews chapter 11, it is well known as a registry of Old Testament heroes of the faith. After naming many of these saints, the writer brings the chapter to a close by saying, "And what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." Then he went on to say, "And others." And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all obtained a good report through faith. And others that were unnamed would surely outnumber the ones that were named. Wouldn't you agree? One might think, especially in these last days of apostasy and lawlessness, that the only good men or women are ones that we read about in the Bible or in history books. But I want to go on record as believing there are a lot of others who usually remain in the shadows. Elijah declared, "And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." In fact, he was so positive about this, he said it twice. And did the Lord say, "Yep, you're right, you're the only one"? No, he didn't say that to him. He said, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." The others. Thank God for the others. Being in the shadow is not necessarily a bad place to be. Because as the psalmist said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under" what? "The shadow of the Almighty." It's not bad to be in the shadow when you're there with the Almighty. May I say thank you to those who through the years have been in the shadow here at the Covenant Baptist Church, who have faithfully served the Lord as nursery workers, ushers, choir members, Sunday school teachers, prayer warriors, tithers and givers to the cause, and have done all the other things that are necessary that the Covenant Baptist Church is able to every Sunday meet and do that which is right. What makes one part of the others? Having the right attitude. Because the right attitude is important, isn't it? In fact, my dad says attitude is 90% of life. And when you have a bad attitude, it makes life hard. Having the right frame of mind. You know, I'll be honest with you, there are times when I think, "Oh, I got to go to church again tonight." Now, I'm not going to ask any of you if you had that, because I'd be heartbroken if you said that. Okay? But the right frame of mind is, yes, I got to go. It's the right thing to do. Those that have thought on whatsoever things are what? True. whatsoever things are true. So we are going to end tonight's sermon where we began in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Shall we stand together? Whatsoever things are true, what we know is true is that Jesus Christ loves us. What we know is true is that we are sinners and need a Savior. What we know is true is that we are given the opportunity to come to know Christ the Savior. But also what we know is to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless things that have been said. May the Spirit move and touch hearts. Bless this invitation time, we pray, in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.